Thank you for that. This morning, we started our new year and we have our new theme, which is desiring growth. We looked at that a couple weeks ago. And as we mentioned in the first message, the key to growing is really our desire. And we're never going to grow if we're not desiring to grow. We understand that God wants us to grow. We understand that God commands us to grow. The fact of the matter is, if you just think it through logically to its conclusion, we need to grow. As you get saved, that's just the beginning. We need to grow, and we need to get matured in our faith. But none of that happens unless we desire it. So for a few weeks, our messages will relate a little bit to our theme about growing and desiring growth. A lot of talk in our society about being great, greatness, spiritual, great accomplishments. Go to Amazon and any other book place and type in, being great, being successful. Thousands of books will show up. Everybody's got their thoughts on it. But if you look at success from a strictly worldly standpoint, there are a lot of flawed theories. Some people believe that becoming successful is nothing more than luck. In other words, I was in the right place at the right time, and it just happened that way. Others believe that it's a gift. It's just something that you're born with. And some people do have a propensity to be able to do certain things more than others, but I don't believe that is true. Some people believe that it should just be given to them. By the way, we live in that type of society, do we not? Okay, where we think, well, it just should be handed to us. If you're waiting for them to hand it to you, when they do hand it to you, it's not going to be very, very much. Okay, and by the way, in this country, we have, no matter who you are, you can accomplish anything in your life that God would want you to accomplish. You don't have to believe any of the nonsense. But the fact is, when it comes to spiritual greatness, spiritual success, as God would define it, it's never an accident. It's not just I was in the right place at the right time. If we are following God, He has a predetermined path that He leads us on. If we will follow Him, and if we follow that path and we do His will, that will lead to spiritual success. And by the way, if you grow and you desire to grow, you will end up being spiritually successful in a sense, because you'll be doing what God wants you to do in your life. And let me just say this, you can achieve anything in this world that people would look at as being defined as greatness, but if that's not what God had for you, you failed. You could become the richest person in the world. You just name it. Look at any field you want to work in. You could become number one, and if that's not what God wanted for you, it's a failure. Or if that was God's path for your life and you fulfill some of that, but your spiritual life lags, you're still failing. God wants us to accomplish great things for Him. But we have to understand that that comes in steps, right? We want the elevator path to success. You get in the elevator and boom, you're up at the top floor in a heartbeat. Whereas if you take the stairs, right? You take the stairs, it takes a while. Back when we could make hospital visits all the time, I have a rule. I always take the stairs unless it's more than six stories, okay? Sometimes I cheat on that. But you know what I have found in the steps? The only people that walk them are the nurses or the doctors. I think they know something we don't know. We just want to get in the elevator and we're there. And sometimes that's what we want. Think of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph, if you're reading your Bible, and a lot of times we start our Bible reading in January and we get through Genesis and we're done for the year. Don't do that. Do you know there's 65 other books in the Bible, right? But if you are following the church's Bible reading schedule, I'm sure you're in Genesis and you've seen the story of Joseph. We like to look at the back end of Joseph, that he was vice president of Egypt, and he kind of stuck it to his brothers a little bit to kind of get their attention. But there was a lot of steps it took Joseph to get there, right? And a lot of them weren't pleasant steps. The point is, we need to get to where God wants us to be. This morning, in the brief time that I have, I want to relate our spiritual success to our theme in the new year. Some of us, we've gotten off to a little bit, particularly in the church setting, we've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start, right? How many of you have had any type of illness over the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks? And the rest of you that haven't lifted your hands, you're lying, okay? Some of the service times, it looked like snow days when I was in Indiana. It's like, there's no one here because there's a blizzard. But I get really excited about the new year, and let's go. I got goals for the church. I got goals for myself. It's going to be a great thing. We're going to do spiritually, all this spiritual, and then you show up, and it's like, well, I'm glad my family came today, okay? And then I missed a service. I wasn't even here for several days. But we've gotten off to a little, but I want to encourage you to something. You can do and achieve great spiritual things this year. You can get to where God wants you to get to this year. And sometimes a new year is a good jumping on point. Maybe we struggled last year. Maybe there were some issues in our life. We didn't quite get to where we needed to be. Listen, it's a new year. Let's have a great year and let's spiritually accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Our story in the Bible is one every child knows. It's David's victory over Goliath. You know, David wasn't invited to that battle. He wasn't even part of the army. You know what he was doing? He was bringing lunch to his brothers. And by the way, it wasn't much of a fight. You had the Philistines on one side, you had the Israelites on the other side, and here's what happened every day. Goliath got up, came out, talked trash, and said, let's go, bring your best guy, let's go, me and him, front and center. No one took it. David shows up one day and he brings lunch, and while he's bringing lunch, here comes Goliath. And Goliath steps out and he comes forward and he starts talking his trash, and David's like, what is this all about? And they tell him, by the way, Saul even promised rewards for anybody that would step up and take him out. And so David starts asking about it. And David's like, I got this. This guy is not going to sit here and defy the armies of the living God and blaspheme my God. I'm going to deal with him. Well, he decides to do that. And next thing you know, he's here he is in front of Saul, the king. By the way, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody in the kingdom. Saul should have been out there fighting him. But David's like, I got this. And Saul's trying to discourage him, like, now you can't do this. And then David's like, I got it. One time a bear came and I killed the bear. One time a lion came, I took care of the lion. It's not a problem. I got this. He is not going to get away with talking like this about the Lord. And so Saul's like, okay, by the way, I think Saul felt guilty, right? He knew he should have been out there. So he's like, well, let me at least armor you up. And David's like, this doesn't fit. I don't need it. And so he grabs some stones. He grabs his sling. He goes out there. Goliath sees David and says, he's offended. Like, what are you kidding me? Is this the best you can do? Some little scrawny brat? And David's like, let's go. And David kills him and cuts his head off. And he won. By the way, winning is good. You know, losing stinks. Well, I participated. Well, you participated as a loser. Okay? I mean, I didn't do really well. I coached our teams, and occasionally we lost. I didn't do well with that. Okay, especially the girls. You know, I had to coach a girls' volleyball team. I was being punished, and I'm losing this lady, and she's 25 months pregnant. No sexism there, but I'm like, oh, girls, we're going to win. I made them all cry, all of them, except for Needy. Where's Brother Vaughn's wife? I could never make her cry. And then one time, right in the middle of a playoff game, she did something wrong and I chewed her out and she started crying. I'm like, this is not the time to cry. But I didn't like losing. It stinks. Well, I participated. You know what participation means? I'm a member of the losing team. That's what it means. But how do we win? How are we victorious in anything? Well, you do the things that lead to victory. That just makes sense. Oh, everybody, when they get out on the field or they get out on the court, I want to win. Well, what did you do before time to prepare for that victory? What did you do to be ready for the victory? In sports, victories are won more on the practice field than they are on the playing field. You have to be the right person to win. And I want to encourage you this morning, we can be spiritually victorious. Quit listening to reasons why you can't. Quit listening to reasons why you shouldn't. Quit looking for excuses to keep you from being what you should be. Quit blaming others for what's going on in your life. You can be successful. And from this story of David, I want us to see some things that'll help us in the few minutes we have to be spiritually successful and growing this year. First of all, I want you to see that David had a spiritual assurance. Look back at verse 32. We read the portion of the story where David wins, and David didn't plan ahead a whole lot. David kills him. It's like, I need to cut his head off. He didn't even have a sword. So he's like, I'll just take Goliath and use his sword. And off went his head. But what did David do to prepare up front? He had a spiritual search. Look what he tells Saul in verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Now, this wasn't some fatalistic statement like someone's got to step up, I'll do it, I'm probably going to die. No, David had assurance. He had a confidence in what he's doing. You know why? Let me say this. His whole thing was rooted in the right cause. He wasn't just doing this on his own. He was doing this for the Lord, and he knew that it was the right thing to do, and so he had assurance to go ahead and go for it. By the way, you do not accomplish anything unless you have what we call convictions. You know what a conviction is? A conviction is when you find out what the Bible says, what the Bible wants you to do, and you say, that's it, that's God's will, I'm all in. And then when that's challenged, and by the way, it will be challenged. If you're a new Christian, right, and you say, I'm going to start living for the Lord, can I just tell you something? That's a great decision. It's going to be challenged. You're going to be all excited, and someone in your family or an old friend or someone at work is going to say, okay, all right, you're going to calm down someday. I hope you don't calm down. I've been at this since I was 18 years old, and I've not calmed down yet. I didn't grow out of it, okay? We have to have some type of assurance that this is what God wants us to do. It's going to be challenged. Look at verse 33. You're going to have to overcome doubts. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art a youth. You think that he would have said, finally, I don't know, I think it was 40 days. Finally, after 40 days, someone's going to man up. Someone's going to step forward and fight this battle instead of every day coming out and staring at each other and then going back because no one will step up. And say, so he's like, you can't do that. By the way, people will tell you that. You'll hear people that will put little doubts in your mind. You go tell somebody, you young ones, I feel like God's calling me to serve him full time with my life, or I feel like someday God's going to send me a mission field, or I'm going to be a pastor, whatever, and someone's going to start putting doubts in your mind. Hey, you can serve God. Just go get a job and make money, and you can still serve God. And there's nothing wrong with that unless God wants you to do something else. By the way, you'll never be happy if that's not what God has for you. Well, I'm going to start living for God, and that life I used to live, I'm not going to live that life anymore. Man, I'm excited about Jesus. And they're like, you know, you're not going to be able to do that. I remember as a new Christian, I was with some family members, and I actually brought them to church, and they saw my life, and they like, and something the pastor said that day, and they're like, oh, that's a little bit outdated. The world's different. And I'm like, no, that's not the path I'm going down. I want to be different. They're going to try to put doubt in your mind. Don't let them do that. You might have to overcome some difficulties. He said, for thou art but a youth. And by the way, what he's saying is true. And he, a man of war from his youth. This was not Goliath's first rodeo. There was a reason Goliath was the one out there standing up for them. I imagine he had probably put a lot of people away. I imagine he probably won a lot of battles. Sometimes we look at the situations in our life, and by the way, I get it. It's not as easy, take this for what it's worth, to live for God today as it was 20, 30 years ago. You have a lot more temptations to face. Now, we have the same temptations, don't get me wrong, but they're at your fingertips. Some of the things that we would have had to go out of our way to be involved with when I was younger, you can be involved with anywhere you're at as long as you got a phone. And I'll just say this again, and you can ignore it, and we'll move on. Teenagers shouldn't have phones. Amen. Okay? That you want to make the worst parenting decision in your life, give your teenager a phone. See, I don't agree with you, Pastor Myers. I can't help you. But you face a lot of things. But can I just tell you something? Having said that, the power of God is still present. God didn't think, oh, man, in the year 2022, it's just going to be too hard for them to go on. No, it's okay. You can make it. You can overcome those difficulties because you have God on your side. Secondly, there was some spiritual accomplishment that kind of backed what David was doing, that encouraged him as he went forward. Look at verse 34. So David's going to answer Saul, King Saul. He says, you can't fight him. He's a tough guy, yada, 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 yada. Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant hath kept his father's sheep. Now, by the way, he's a little different than I would have been. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Now, here's what would have happened if I would have said that. I would have said, tax write-off. Right? Isn't that what happens? If you have a business and you lose some of your capital, you lose some, it's like, hey, tax write-off. Not David. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And he rose against me, and I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. This was one tough guy. Now, he wasn't out trying to get a name for himself. He was fulfilling what he was supposed to be doing, and something presented himself, and he said, I'm going to take care of this situation. And he beat a bear, and he beat a lion. That's pretty impressive. And by the way, he didn't have weapons. I mean, if you have a bear gun, I guess it's okay. If you got a gun that'll shoot a lion, I guess that'll work. He had accomplishments. He fulfilled some past requirements. By the way, it was his job. It was his job to take care of the flock. And because he fulfilled that job, little did he know that that one job of helping his father and taking care of the flock would one day lead to him taking care of Goliath and spurring his army on to victory. You see, the small things that you accomplish in your life when you do what you're supposed to do prepares you for what God has for you in the future. The problem with us is we look for our significance and we look for our fulfillment outside of our responsibilities. We find those within our responsibilities. Life isn't always just about playing. It's about fulfilling the responsibilities that God has for you. And let me say this, when you start to take the responsibilities God has for you seriously and you start to fulfill them, you start to build up a little bit of spiritual confidence because you're doing what you are supposed to be. See, most people aren't into their responsibilities. And they're looking for accomplishments in other areas, and sometimes responsibilities get in the way. But let me just tell you something. Your responsibilities are more important than anything you'll ever accomplish. You know, I don't like the Dallas Cowboys. Sorry, Oscar. I think they're like Satan's their cheerleader, personally. But they had a great coach named Jimmy Johnson. When Jimmy Johnson was in college, he was married. And when he was in college, you have to recruit. So you're on the banquet trail. You're going to homes. You're hosting people. And his wife was really good at that. Now, out of his mouth, he said when he became the coach of Dallas, he goes, no more recruiting, no more banquets, I don't need her. And he left her. Now, he may have been a success as a football coach, but he was a failure as a person. Okay? That responsibility was more important than anything he'd ever achieve on the football field. Look, responsibilities are important. There's greatness in doing what you're supposed to do. There's greatness in being the right kind of spouse. There's greatness in being the right kind of parent. There's greatness in serving the Lord. You go to work every day and you think it's insignificant so you can take care of your family. That's a great thing. Fulfill your responsibilities, and God gives you a little bit of confidence as you do those things. David had his confidence because he was doing what he was supposed to do. He also was reviewing the victories. It's amazing. When God does great things in your life and you have some spiritual victories, you go through a tough time and you know what you start thinking? I faced something like this already and I know God can get me through it. You understand that even in sports, teams that win, they get confidence. And even though they may not be as good as another team, they'll beat them simply because they've been there before and they know what's going on. You like football, how many ever heard of the Buffalo Bills, right? They lost 4 Super Bowls in a row, and they were a great team. You know why they lost 4? Because they lost the first one. They were a better team that first year. They had a winning field goal online, and they missed it. And then every year after that, I heard them testify that 4th Super Bowl, they were leading at half. And one of their players said, when we were in the locker room, even though we were winning, we knew we were going to lose. You know what happened? They just got used to it. But I'll tell you what, when you don't lose and you see God start doing great things in your life, there's a confidence in God that comes. David's like, look, God's done great things before. Don't worry about it. I got this covered. Next, there was spiritual acknowledgments. Look at verse 37. Although David did all these great things, and David was a great guy, and here's what he said in verse 37. David said, moreover, what's the next two words? The Lord. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You see, David understood, even though he had those victories through his responsibilities, he understood who gave him the victories. I remember when Mike Tyson was this unbeatable boxer, I really didn't see any of his fights. The first fight I actually saw live was when he fought Buster Douglas. How many of you remember that one? And you know, before the fight, they do all the little bios. Buster Douglas, I think he was a fill-in. I don't even think he was the guy he was supposed to fight. I think the guy he was supposed to fight got sick, and he filled in. But as they were going through his life, Buster Douglas, I think his mom had recently died. And he was talking about how that worked on his life. And, you know, he actually mentioned the Lord and he had a purpose for my life. And I'm like, wow. And then he got in the ring and I'm like, okay, he's going to get killed in 2 rounds. But that's a nice story. He actually, probably one of the greatest upsets in boxing history, he knocked Mike Tyson out. And I thought, what's he going to say after the fight? You know what he said after the fight? He started swearing and talking about how great he was. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, what happened before the fight? How you were humble and God was actually starting to work. And it's like, what happened here? Isn't that how we are? You know, I need God and good things happen. All of a sudden it's like, well, you know, God needs me. No, God doesn't need you. And if you are going to do it on your own, you're not going to make it. But when you have the right mentality, God's done great things. Good things have happened in my life and I can't take credit for it. And by the way, you can't. The second you take credit for it, you're going downhill really fast. Acknowledgments. Maybe that's why God gave him the victory. You know why? Because he knew David would give him the honor and the glory. He trusted in God, and that trust led to triumph. And then lastly, how else can we have spiritual? There was a spiritual agenda. Look at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a great coat of mail. I guess Saul figured, hey, at least if the kid's going to get killed, maybe I can put some armor on him and we'll delay this thing a little bit. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. David's like, it just doesn't fit. I didn't wear this when I beat the bear. I didn't wear this when I beat the lion. I don't know if it's going to work. I'm done with it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I've not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You know, David went back to what he knew worked. David said, you know what? I don't need your fancy armor. I don't need all of that. I know if I trust in the Lord, he's the one that's going to have to give me the victory anyway. And for him, the best weapon was the stone. And being free of, being unencumbered with all of this weight. You see, David had to refuse something that he knew would not work, the wrong thing. David said, that's not going to work. I want to use what works. By the way, let me just explain something to you. Sin doesn't work. Things that aren't right aren't going to work. Sometimes we start getting a little older in our faith and we're a little bit more set in, and it's not just about our faith. We want to start adding some things that aren't right. Well, you know, I got a Jesus bumper sticker. Good for you. I'm glad we didn't have it on the shuttle today. Look, you've got to be all in on this thing. And if it is not something that's of God, don't go for it. If David would have put that armor on, he felt like, I'm going to start trusting in the armor, not in the Lord. I already know what works. And he took the right thing. He used what God wants him to use. Now, here it is. A new year is upon us. And you can. Every year, I know, everybody sets, New Year's resolutions, and you probably already blew that. You know, I'm going to diet, and then, you know, I go out to eat. I got some gift cards for Christmas. It kills diets, doesn't it? You know, I'm gonna do this, I'm going to do that. You know, in the Sunday school class, Gary's having, a faithfulness campaign. Hey, let's be here every Sunday. If you're going to have a baby, you're going to have it on Tuesday. You need to be here on Sunday. Well, I'm going to get sick on Wednesday. Guess what? We're going to have to readjust a little bit there. Some of us have been sick, right? But you know, we're all set, we're all excited, and then there's a little detour, and we're off track. Let's not do that. Let's be able to look back at the end of this year and say, you know what? I'm not there yet, because we never get there, but I'm farther down the road than I was before. I can see that God did some things in my life this year. By the way, can you look back to last year and say the same thing? You say, no, Pastor Myers, I did okay, but I felt I could have done better. Hey, let's go this year. The point is, you can do it. If we just have the right mentality and we allow God to work in our life. Don't let life slow you down. Don't let opposition, when I mean opposition, a lot of times it's family members, they don't mean anything. They just don't know any better. I don't think Saul, didn't want Goliath's head cut off. I just think he didn't get it. But you can do it this year. But the choice is yours. David made his choice. By the way, there was a lot of other men, probably bigger, older, more experienced, and I was going to say tougher, but I doubt it. But you know who it was? It was the kid. The kid said, no one else is going to do anything. I'm in. I'll do it. What about you this year? Is God really going to do something? If you're here in your life, by the end of the year, you're going to be here. It's your choice. My encouragement is, you can do it. You can do it. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute, if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. Every year, I get excited about the new year. We spend time as a staff, and I spend time as a pastor. We're planning, we're doing things we want to accomplish. And I get excited about it. I don't want to just be where I was last year. I don't want our church just to be where we were last year. And if I look at your individual lives and my individual life, I don't want us to be where we were last year. I want us to go forward. I want God to do something in our lives. You say, well, who am I? I can't do great things. No, but maybe you can make a difference in your marriage. Maybe you can make a difference in your family. Maybe you can make a difference to somebody where you work. Maybe God will allow you to do something to make a difference in someone's life in our community. But But you have to believe that God can use you to do it. You got to believe that you can grow and become the Christian individual that God wants you to be. Maybe you're here this morning, and let me say this. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're never going to be able to be who God wants you to be. Because the first thing he wants you to be is his child. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, you know, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to be sure. I have some doubt. With nobody looking around, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you say, Pastor, that's me. I am not 100% for sure if I were to die today that I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? No one looking around, if you just raise your hand real quick, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Anybody like that at all? Okay, see that? See that back there? Yes. Let's stand together.